Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, this is Donna, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Today we're going to be talking with a woman who is really going to educate us, not just about Yiddish, but also about some of the things that can happen in the area of the paranormal. So what I want to do is to introduce to you Marcy Ellen Craig. And for those of you that have been reading the newsletter or have received the newsletter, I misspelled her name. And I apologize sincerely, but Marcy is a woman with a tremendous imagination, but I've got a feeling there is a very special story behind this book. Marcy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, I notice we've got a tremendous echo, Marcy, so I hope you're not getting a distortion.
Never, never, ever gonna say goodbye. Hold me in your arms.
Hi, this is Donna. We were having a little bit of a technical challenge there. I apologize for our being off there for a few seconds. As I said, we have Marcy Ellen Craig, and Marcy, I'm so delighted that you're with me today. I had such fun in reading your book and was so intrigued with the story. What is it that, from personal perspective, that made you decide to write this story? Is this related to members of your own family?
No, I'm sorry to say that it isn't, but I did get inspired by some of my creative writing students at the time when I was beginning this story. I taught in a wonderful program that was doing creative writing with people who were elderly, and I had several people in my class who had lived this kind of life, and they inspired me to tell this story.
Well, I was so fascinated, one, that you started off with a story about chicken farms. I mean, this is just really fascinating. But what really intrigued me even more was how Grandma had her own special story to tell. You must have encountered some fascinating people, because the perspectives that you give of both the old country and the new country and traditions and things that go on in the Jewish community was just marvelous.
Oh, thank you so much.
Now, with this, the characters are so interesting. Now, you have been, I want my audience to know a little bit about you, you've been a full-time English professor at the Cabrillo Community College in California, and you have won awards for your work. Was this a big step for you to get into a novel? Because a novel is quite complex.
A novel is very complex, and it's something that I have wanted to do for most of my life. I actually got into teaching sideways. It was a way to make a living while I was doing the writing, so the writing came first. I adore teaching, and I love what I do, but I also have a lot of stories in me that I wanted to tell, and this is one of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, I love your characters, and when I'm going through them, what I really got a hoot out of, I mean, I really didn't know the word schmuck. I mean, I've heard schmuck for years, but I didn't realize that it means penis, but also a doper jerk. Now,
yes.
That to me was an education, the doper jerk I got, but not the other one.
Where that came from might be something really interesting to research someday.
I can imagine it would be interesting to research. like Farfuklucht, Befuddled, Discombobulated, Crazy and Unhinged, Kvetch. Don't kvetch so much. I mean, to, you know, that's fussing or complaining. And you've got all of this listed out in the front of your book. And to go through this, you brought these characters alive. They are so much fun. Now, tell us about the character Rebe and how you managed to put her together. How did she come to life for you?
So this is a really interesting story because I heard a lecture about this community in Petaluma who knew there were Jewish chicken ranchers in Petaluma. And what I was really interested in was the community and how the community worked together. But I decided I would tell this story through one particular family, and Rebe started to emerge as a character. I had 150 pages written, and she one day said to me, it does feel like my characters talk to me, she said, listen, you're missing the main point of this story. It's not about the community. It's these secrets within my family, and I'm not going to participate in this novel anymore unless you let me tell the story in my own voice and in my own way. So what could I do? I had to give her what she wanted.
I find this always so interesting that various people, I don't do many interviews with novels, but various people that I've interviewed that have done very, very good novels that I've read, they have said the same thing, that their characters come to life and their characters tell them. It's like they have a muse on their shoulders, their mental shoulders, and the characters will talk to them and tell them how they should be presented, et cetera. And that's the feel I got through the whole book, that she really is a very, very strong personality.
Yeah.
And this was just delightful. Now, for you to get all of these Jewish terms in here, you must have had to do research on this to find out what they were and where they were appropriate to be used.
Well, I am Jewish. Some of these words were words that I grew up hearing. Nobody in my family spoke Yiddish because we'd been in this country for so long, except for these few great expressions that so capture the feeling of somebody or the feeling of being confused. I did do a lot of research. I spent about 2 years interviewing people who lived in Petaluma who had lived on these chicken ranches and doing a lot of research so that I could see it all very clearly. And that's part of what happens to me when I write. I kind of close my eyes, I see it all, and then write what I see. And that's how the novel was born.
Well, I can understand that. Now, with Rebe, the very beginning of your book, she's dying. And she has to tell her story. And it goes back to the Ukraine. It goes back to the old country. That's what I remember, you know, people calling it. I'm from the old country. This is the new country.
Yeah.
And this is something where she experienced in the story a great deal of pain. And you have a sentence that says, I was a woman made big from carrying the dead. Now, that's a very powerful sentence to me.
Yes, and she did. Her mother and two sisters were killed during the 1917 war, and she couldn't let them go. So she invited them into her body after they died, and they came with her to the new country
and
made her life miserable, I have to say, because they constantly commented about what she was doing, how well she was doing the laundry, what she was feeding her children, what are you giving them that for breakfast? That's not a good enough breakfast. I always admired how kind she was to them because they would have driven me nuts.
Now, what I found intriguing is that she was highly intuitive, the character herself, and what she did was almost like a ritual, saying, I've buried you, but I can't leave you here. I mean, it's a story of tremendous tragedy. And she's standing in the cemetery and just allows it. The pain is so deep, she said, I just can't not have you with me. And as you said, they became a part of her. And she said it was very crowded under her skin. Very crowded.
It was
under her skin. Now, you have all of these different characters. You have Shoshana. You have some of the others. Let's talk about Shoshana a little bit.
All righty.
She's
so Shoshana, Rebe decides as she's dying she needs to tell somebody the truth of her life. And the truth of her life is about these ghosts and how she made peace with them over the years. And I originally did not have Shoshana in the book. Shoshana's taking care of her. She's broken her hip, and she's listening to Grandma tell these tales. And one of my creative writing students said, well, who is this granddaughter that she's talking to anyway, and what does she think about all this? So it gave me a chance to write a modern character. What would you do if your grandma was telling you these kinds of stories? Shoshana's struggling to believe her or not believe her, to decide whether Grandma has Alzheimer's or if all of this is really true, and that's her big struggle in the book.
Mm-hmm. And then the mother, she just is furious that her daughter's even listening to these stories, because her mother is one of these practical people. We can't be bothered with this. We live in a modern world. This isn't what we've got. But the relationship between the granddaughter and the grandmother is so special, because she feels like she's got to pass her knowledge on to her granddaughter, because she won't have an understanding of who she is if she doesn't understand some things that went on in the past.
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. But it's really fun, because you have the character, Mamali, that says, that's one of the ghosts, that says, spirits cannot take part in the world. You know the rule. And then you have the others that come in. And like you said, they drive you nuts. It's like poltergeists.
They do, and mostly they're so critical of Rebe and the way that she's just trying to be a good mom and live her life. And they have opinions about everything that she does.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I was thinking about the ways we all carry our important dead to us and hear them making comments about our lives as we live.
There's a paragraph where you have the granddaughter saying, or wanting to say to her grandmother, "This is what we have, Grandma, me in my silence with my hands working, so now you're combed and braided, we have you tied to your walker, but so full of tales that they're pressing to get out of your mouth."
Yes.
And I think that's true. I think that so many times when people are getting close to that period where they're going to be exiting from this experience, they really do want to tell some of their stories. They want someone to listen to them. And I think that's part of what is conveyed here, that Grandma really feels it's important for it to go on. She can't tell her daughter because her daughter isn't interested. But if she can tell her grandchild, and her grandchild can hear, then it'll really make a difference.
Yes, and there's actually, as the novel goes on towards the end, there's some really compelling reasons why Rebe needs to tell her, why her daughter Mimi doesn't want to hear this, because she has some of her own abilities that she doesn't really accept. That she has a little magic in her too that she's denied, and there's something that has to happen before Rebe can die. So that Shoshana and daughter Mimi are a part of.
You bring up something about Winna, the eldest of the guardians. Who were the guardians?
The guardians are the guardian spirits of the land. And are the people who are already dead who make sure that life continues. And there are many of them. Winna is the oldest one. She was a Native American Miwok woman of that time, of that area.
Did you get that particular characterization from a particular tribe that you became aware of in the area?
Yes. I researched the tribes that lived in that area, and And she was another one that had pretty strong opinions about how she wanted to be represented, and I needed to be as truthful as I could about what her experience was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, the daughter was getting very upset with some of the things that were going on, and the story has so many twists and turns in it. And each of your chapters involves a particular segment of experience and interaction with various characters. But the mother, why was she so frightened? What was it about her that made her so uncomfortable with this? And who did you base that character on?
Let's see. Mimi is frightened of her own abilities. She's frightened of looking at the past and having to change how she sees her family. Shoshana uncovers in the course of the novel some family secrets that even Rebe didn't know, that are hard and painful. And Mimi is very frightened of all of that and frightened of the truth of herself, I think.
Mm-hmm.
In the deepest level.
When I was reading this, there was so much of a relationship that I could see relative to many people I even know in real life today who are very gifted intuitively, but because nobody has talked to them either through their culture, through their environment, they don't want to be different. They don't want to stand out. So they actually sometimes become quite angry. Because these abilities are saying, I don't want them. I don't want to be bothered with them. But they're there. And they can't go away from them. And their own families have secrets. So, again, when I was reading this, there are different experiences that I've had through the years with different people and with what we call psychic abilities. And they vary in cultural understandings, but they are there throughout life, period.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for you, when you were going through this, when you were writing this, did you resonate with some of this? Have you had experiences of your own with the paranormal?
Yes and no. I got raised by a scientist and was taught to be very skeptical. And some part of me still holds that. And then I've had experiences where that have really put that into question. So I go back and forth between being Shoshana and being Rebe.
Mm-hmm. So in a way, there are parts of yourself that have contributed to the story, and that's one of the reasons why you have been able to resonate with these different characters.
Yes. They're all me and they're all not me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, with all of the different terms, and of course it shows through in this wonderful book, A Woman of Heart, are you going to be taking this on to another level? Is there going to be another aspect of the story that you're going to want to continue in another book, or is this going to stand all by itself?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. Without giving anything that happens in the story away, I wouldn't be continuing anything about Rebe. The character who most intrigues me that I may at some point write about is a Japanese-American character named Moss,
mm-hmm.
who is Rebe's neighbor and is equally gifted with being able to see the dead, and he has a very strange gift that he can travel through time. And he's very intriguing to me and might be somebody that I write about more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at work right now on two other novels, so I want to get those done first before I jump off into Moss's world.
With many people who are listening that perhaps want to write a novel, when you started this, you mentioned how this story evolved and how you were part of a writing class. When one has been involved in teaching and in the modality of communication with the written word to the degree you were, was it a major shift for you to go into the writing of a novel? I would expect it would be, because you've got so much conversation in the book, and to be able to convey that communication so that it seems like it's very natural and normal, and you're just sitting at someone's kitchen table, kibitzing back and forth. Was this really a challenge for you?
Actually, no. It was a great pleasure. I teach creative writing as well as what people call bonehead English, which I don't think is boneheady at all. But so I was surrounded by creative writers. I was trying to inspire their writing, and I allowed that to inspire my own. And I have been working at the writing craft since I was in college. So in addition to my teaching, I'm always trying to carve out a little time in the day to do writing and do that kind of experience. It helps me as a teacher, and it just helps me as a person mm-hmm. to be a creative in the world.
Uncle Moss, he is
yes.
an interesting character. He's passed over, and he is, well, with Shoshana. And
mm-hmm.
Grandma talks to her about her Uncle Moss. This is something that many times when people have someone say, gee, I see your uncle, I see this, I see that around you, and they'll go, what do you mean you see? I don't see anything. It's a whole different perspective. And that's something that when she's having this empathy with her grandmother, and there are certain things that are going on, and she's being educated by her grandmother through these stories, it's quite an experience for her. She really has a big adjustment to go through.
She does. Grandma kind of turns her whole world upside down because she presents a very different side to all these people that Shoshana thought she knew.
Mm-hmm.
Her uncles, her mother, her own mother, and Uncle Moss.
Mm-hmm. And I love how when you write, you're writing the way so many Jewish people talk. It's like she says, your grandmother has been a nuts, but I only want you should be happy. There's a way that they phrase things that I just love. And I had a very, very dear friend that passed away who was Jewish, and she would fall into this conversational type of communication, and I just loved it. It was just absolutely wonderful. As long as you're here, a good life you should have. This is, and there are those enunciations and there are those accents on the words that they make that I just think you bring across in your writing that is just absolutely, absolutely wonderful.
Thank you. I worked very hard to try and be true to that voice.
Mm-hmm. And that voice is a very distinct voice.
Yes.
A very distinct voice. Shoshana has a way of working with the earth, and you bring a little bit of that out, and then it makes her more comfortable with the talents that she has within herself, which is appropriate. And then you have a section in your book that says Secrets Waiting for an Ear, and you give a time frame about things happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I thought, was very, very interesting, and you go through all of this, and you have the asking of questions. How many people have members of family that they would like to know about? They don't know any history about them. Or maybe someone says, well, after they're gone, gee, do you know about Lucy Buckbuck over here? And they'll say, yes, I remember her. She was this, that, or the other. Well, did you know this is what she went through? This is what she experienced? And usually your eyes get as big as saucers because you haven't got a clue.
Right.
Maybe that relative, Buck, was someone that was very quiet, didn't do much of anything, wasn't out appearing to make a difference in the world. And yet, in their lifetime, they maybe experienced things that if they told them, it could either make your hair stand up on end, or you just go, wow, you just have no idea. And I can remember being at a family event where there was a member of family that came up to me, pulled me aside, and because of having a chance to communicate, this was a family by marriage, and started telling me about out-of-body experiences that they had and visions they had when they were over in Italy fighting in frozen ground. And he saw things that I listened to it, and I went, holy Moses, this guy is just amazing. Nobody in the family ever wanted to listen to it. He didn't want to tell anybody about it. So what you're portraying in the book, I think, is quite significant. I think people's stories should be heard.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Some of that was inspired by some of my elderly students who had gone through amazing experiences, just like your family member, that nobody had heard about. And I wanted them to know that it's really important that we hear those tales.
Mm-hmm. I think so. But I love Reba. She's got such a sense of humor. I just really, really like it because she just takes things as they are, and she sees people as they are, and she doesn't make any excuses for them. So it's a wonderful, wonderful character. Now, I know we're just about out of time. You have a website. Where would people go to find out more about you, Marcy?
I have a website at www.marcyallencraig.com, and the tricky part about the website is spelling my last name right. And the book is also available through Amazon. There's a Kindle version of it as well. And my website will link you up right with Amazon if you so wish.
Right. Now, it's Marcy, M-A-R-C-Y, Allen Craig, allencraig.com. That's marcyallencraig.com, and you'll be able to find out more about it. Before we close out, Marcy, what would you say to those people who are listening if maybe they feel they want to share their story, whether it's in novel form or a nonfiction form? What would you like to leave with them as a gift?
I would like to tell them that the sharing of their stories is one of the greatest gifts they can make to the people around them, and to urge them to speak. We desperately need to hear everyone's stories.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think that is absolutely true, because sometimes the stories are better than science fiction. Believe me, it's absolutely amazing what people have had in the way of experiences. Marcy Allen Craig, thank you so much for being my guest. Your book, A Woman of Heart, is really something to read, and I love the paranormal stories that you've got in there. They are just marvelous.
Thank you so much, Donna. I feel so honored to be a part of your show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure. And keep on writing, and let me know when your next book comes out.
I will do that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna. Telephone lines are now open. Give me a buzz at 888-627-6008 if you would like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. That's 888-627-6008. Well, we've got the Quantum Mind Workshop that's coming up for those of you in Western Washington. It's going to be a week from this Saturday. How does the time go by so fast? Goodness gracious, it's just whizzing by. November the 12th. Now, this workshop is all about empowering you, and we have just got a fabulous facility. We're at 5250 Bridgeport Way West. It's going to be from 10 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon. We're going to have food, refreshments, and it's only $39.95 if you prepay or $45 at the door. So I'd love for you to be able to be a part of this workshop. We're limiting it to 25 people because we want to give personalized attention. So give me a call at my office if you're interested, or send me an email. Call me at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604, or send me an email. Send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna at DelphiInternational.com. I sent out my newsletter on the 1st, as I usually do, and my editorial in the newsletter was about hummingbirds. Well, so many people, I have gotten such a wonderful response to that editorial in the newsletter, and in fact, there's a young lady who is a photographer, commercial photographer, and hummingbirds are her favorite subject. And she sent me a whole batch of photos, and in my next newsletter, I'm going to be sharing that with you so you'll be able to view her fabulous work. But because of the stories that I shared in the editorial, she shared one with me, and I'd like to share it with you. She said, one day, unexpectedly, a hummingbird appeared to me. I had my camera with me, but not the proper lens. I took a few shots, but decided to go home and get a better lens, plus my tripod. I wondered if she would still be there when I returned. Sure enough, this tiny little ruby-throated hummingbird was still there and would be for several months. This hummingbird had much to teach me. Over time, she let me more and more into her world. My first big lesson she taught me is patience. Slow down, wait. Other photographers would come and would be surprised that they weren't able to get the shot they wanted. But I knew the secret that the little hummingbird revealed to me. Be still and wait, perhaps for hours. Most didn't want to take the time. But there was always a gift the hummingbird would delight me with if I had patience. Sometimes her gift would be the view of her open wings, where I could then see each feather that composed her wings through the lens of the camera, but not with the naked eye. Other times she would be poised in midair with the light pouring through her wings. She'd feed on the flowers, and other times she would rest in a tree, preening herself, always aware of my presence. Many times late at night, while editing the thousands of images I had taken in a day, I would come across pictures where I knew the hummingbird had let me into her world so that I could share it with you. It would bring tears of joy to me, as the beauty of the hummingbird is so pure, so innocent. Over the course of the months, people would stop by and ask me what I was taking pictures of, as it was not apparent to them. When I would tell them hummingbirds, I was always surprised and delighted, as most everyone had a story to tell about the hummingbird. How each time they saw one, it would bring them joy. They would become so excited about being in the presence of a hummingbird, as they knew it was something special, like a reminder of the ever-present love that surrounds us all, but we forget. And then a hummingbird comes along to remind us. I hope you enjoy the world that this little hummingbird revealed to me. The young lady's name is Krista, and again, I'll be sharing the beautiful photos and other things that she sent me with you in the December edition. But this is just, it's just a joy, and it's so nice to hear from people. And I think when we hear people's stories, just like the author I had on today, when we hear people's stories, we realize there's other perspectives in life. And sometimes it wakes us up to look at things differently. It wakes us up to the reality that there's more than one angle to perhaps situations or conditions, and maybe we're going to be able to explore something brand new or discover something brand new for ourselves. So I really appreciate her taking the time to share that with me. And remember, if you have certain stories you'd like to share, I always enjoy hearing from you. Just email me, and I know every once in a while the emails bounce back. I don't know what it is with electronics, but sometimes I swear the email universe gets PMS every once in a while. So you just have to try it again, because I'm here. And again, I do like hearing from you. Now, by the way, I want to mention that you're hearing an ad about Toprasin. This is a painkiller. There is a special offer that I just received an email on today. Believe me, I use this product myself. So I really want you to know about it because the offer is just really great. So as soon as I get it all together, I'll be sharing it with you because this is something for loved ones, for anyone that you know, for yourself. If you're uncomfortable, this is a good thing to have in your life. Okay, I want to let you know who's coming on tomorrow. Tomorrow we're going to be talking with Dr. Meg Blackburn, and she is a woman that has an incredible healing capacity. She has put together this publication that really is like a textbook, but I'm telling you, it has a lot more in it than that. So we're going to have quite a conversation, and if you are interested in learning about different healing modalities, I think that this could be quite meaningful to you, and I think that it would add something to an understanding. No matter who you are, you can always learn something new. And sometimes people, when they're trying to figure out how they want to do things, especially if they're interested in the healing arena, maybe one particular application or technique doesn't work for you, but something else will. And I think the more we can read and explore and expand and experiment, find out what works for us, the better it is. And it enables us to become more comfortable in our own skins with our own abilities. And I do think sometimes that it would be a great advantage if there were places where people could practice and work with individuals so that they would feel comfortable with their talents and with the techniques that they develop. So many people I meet have had to walk, let's say, a very long road of self-discovery in a way and manner that maybe if they had had a good teacher, it would have made all the difference in the world. And I think many times that is something that we really need to have more of. And, of course, I love to teach, and that's why my class, Quantum Mind, it means so much to me because it allows me to interact one-on-one with you. Well, here we are. We're in the month where it is a Thanksgiving time. Of course, the attitude of Thanksgiving, I think we should pretty much have all year round. But if you're like so many of us that love to cook, and when the holidays come around, it's, woohoo, I get to do all these fancy recipes. Well, I came across something, and this just absolutely made me chuckle, and it's about Costco, and it's about pumpkin power. I looked at this, and I just said, holy Moses. Costco, in 1987, put out basically what was, you know, an 8 to 10-inch pie, and that's when they started baking and putting them out. Today, their standard pie is 12 inches. Talk about maximizing something. It weighs more than 3.5 pounds. And what blew my mind is they make 4.7 million pies. That's right, 4.7 million pies. You know, this is something, their pumpkin pie is so loved that they sold 1.5 million pies in 5 days. Can you wrap your mind about that? Can you even imagine how many pumpkin pies that would be stacked? Holy Moses. Well, they have got this down to a precision. This is what they do. They know the farmers that they go to for their pumpkins. The pumpkins are harvested in late August from a 700-acre region in Peoria, Illinois. Bless those pumpkin farmers. They have 174 truckloads of pumpkins that are locally processed into 1 million number 10 cans. The cans are shipped to Costco bakeries all around the country. And between September 1 and December 31, Costco sells 4.7 million pumpkin pies. They make that equivalent of 102,000 oven loads. That's what they've got. This is what goes into making 4.7 million pies. 6.3 million pounds of canned pumpkin, 4.8 million pounds of sugar and spices, 4.7 million freshly pressed pie shells, 2 million pounds of fresh whole eggs. 2 million pounds of eggs. That is unbelievable to me. That is how many people we have in this country eating pumpkin pies. And that's just Costco. That's not talking about all the other bakeries. And that's not talking about the millions of families. It's amazing. Do you know one employee's personal best was baking 1,800 pies in a single night? Oh, my gracious. I don't think I'd eat another pumpkin pie as long as I lived. Just smelling that many pies. Oh, boy. Hi, we've got a caller. This is Donna. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. It's Pat in Connecticut.
Hi, Pat. Are you getting ready for the holidays yourself?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Looking forward to it.
I cannot imagine fixing that many pies. I just cannot. It just is mind-boggling. Just shows how efficiency and assembly line process can get things out to people that want them. It's just amazing. Okay, Pat, let's get down to business with you. The first thing that I am looking at is you are going to have to zip the lip and not say what you feel because you have to think very carefully before the words leave your mouth. Apparently, there is some kind of a situation where someone is not going to be particularly pleasant, and you really want to let them have it. There will be the appropriate way to make a comment, and I just want to say, zip the lip until you really have it clearly fixed in your mind as to how you want to express yourself. You do that, you're going to come out ahead. You don't want to let your emotions trigger what needs to be said. Because when you say something, it really has an impact, believe it or not, on the person or persons that you'll be with. So think carefully first. Now, Pat, we're going to go on a break. Will you stay with me?
Sure, thank you.
You're very welcome. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be coming back to Pat in Connecticut. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you, we offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedros accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo directly. You can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. We're talking with Pat in Connecticut. Hi, Pat. What did you want to ask me about today?
Thank you for that advice. I'm sure that's going to be really valuable. A week or so ago, you helped me with my sister's cat and told me that he's not going to make it, but that he did have parasites. You said he might have a few months, but he has improved and he's home. And I'm wondering, I know that he's been checked for parasites. I'm wondering if you can see what kind, if there's anything that she can do now to help him with the parasites.
Well, I think that's a tough call because without knowing what kind of parasite it is, it's going to be very difficult.
Oh.
For someone to be able to prescribe anything. But I would say she's got to be attentive to his diet. And it's dealing with the intestinal tract. And it's affecting the internal organs. And sometimes these little microorganisms, I mean, it happens with people. It happens with animals. They get into the system. And until we can figure out or detect what it is, we don't know what the behavior pattern is. And that is our big challenge. So I'm seeing her cat throwing up, and someone might say, well, she's got a furball. Well, that could be, but I don't think so. And I think there's going to be a sensitivity with food. So what I'd like to see her do is if she can get to someone that really knows about cats, especially as they're getting older, that maybe there are some dietary shifts she can make gradually that would make it easier for the animal to digest the food more comfortably. But I'm seeing that as the biggest problem. How old is this cat? I don't remember what you told me before.
He's young. He had a bowel blockage. He's no more than 6 years. But I, as you said, and I think it's true, that he's been sick for a while.
Okay, so I
thought you might be able to...
No, well, I would say the parasite, and if the animal had bowel blockage before, that means that something could still be in the system. And the cat is relatively young, so diet is really going to make a difference. And I would strongly encourage her to try to find someone that is knowledgeable, because this animal system is a lot like a much older cat's system. And sometimes when you're young and you have that kind of a trauma that you go through, the body reacts in a way that would be atypical for a cat its age. But again, diet has a lot to do with it. So I would encourage her to really find somebody that's knowledgeable. And if she wants to switch to certain foods where they are going to work more comfortably with the animal system, that is important.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Well, you're very welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo. 888-627-6008 is the telephone number to call in to. And I thought I would share something with you here about a woman by the name of Shelley. I'm always touched by how one person, because of an experience, something they become aware of, they go and take charge, and they say, I have to do something to make a difference. And the stories are endless. There are so many wonderfully kind, thoughtful, caring people in this world. And I know sometimes we can go through experiences where we don't think they even exist. But they really, really do. And Shelley, one night, was contacted by the police, and her 21-year-old son was killed. And that really just absolutely upset her, as you can imagine. So when she'd go through her reflective thoughts while she was grieving for her son, Cameron, she realized that he absolutely had a love of music. And she said there'd never be a reason why this accident happened. There'd never be anything logical that could be stated about it. And she found out later on exactly what had happened and the, what I would say, the dramatic situation of the accident. And she got so many responses from people because there was a newspaper article about it. It was that bad. And she was so touched by the thoughtfulness of the people around her. And she said it reminded her of something her son said. And he was just a little guy when he said it. He said, "Mom, I know what heaven is. Heaven is when you're good to people, and good is how it makes you feel." And that was something her son always wanted to do. He always wanted to make things better. He got involved with different types of things, but he just absolutely wanted to live life with a purpose. That was a very important part of his personality. So she decided she was going to start up something called the Cameron Effect. And you can go to CameronEffect.com. And she said it's doing kind deeds to honor her son. And she said on the 7th of the month, do 7 acts of compassion. And she went and put this out on Facebook. Well, people saw what she posted. One girl said that it made a difference, the request, because she had a sister that was really, really nasty to her, but she told her sister that she loved her. There was another woman that said she decided she was going to let go of the anger and frustration she had with someone in her family. And there were just amazing things that people did. One man, when that request, he delivered freshly baked cookies to a retirement home. A bus driver bought $5 restaurant gift cards and passed them out to people in need. And people were buying other people's gas. It's just, the stories go on and on and on. One person can make a difference. Now, tragedy doesn't have to start this. Some cases it does. But remember, you are significant. Who you are makes a difference. Don't ever forget that. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be talking about healing tomorrow. Hope you can join me. Same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.